I want to take just a moment to thank each one for being here this morning. And again, we are blessed with those who are visiting with us. Appreciate very much your presence. And want you to know that we are honored to have you in our company this morning. And we would invite you to come back and join us anytime that you have an opportunity to do so. I want to remind you that you have a responsibility to know God's truth. Your faith needs to be based upon an accurate understanding of God's Word. And to that end, I would encourage you to study and to compare what I say against the standard of God's Word and to realize that you are obligated to know God's truth. It's hard not to become a little bit concerned about all of the events taking place in our world today. If you watch any news at all, or if you read any paper, then you know that things are taking place in this world that are not righteous, that are not good. We know that evil is rampant within our society. And sometimes we even think about certain events or maybe people, and we would put that as the face of evil. Maybe some would put the Holocaust as the face of evil, or Hitler, Stalin. Maybe some would put Jeffrey Dahmer as the face of evil, or Manson. The Ayatollah as the face of evil. Maybe we would put ISIS and think of all that they've done in the name of their faith, and yet we look at that as being evil. And so we recognize that evil is rampant and that evil has an effect in our lives, that it impacts us. Again, if in no other way, just the fact that we have to hear about it and we see it, and we are, again, somewhat disconcerted by the things that are taking place. We are worried about the things that are taking place. But I want you to understand something. Evil is that which corrupted a perfect creation by God. God is not the author of evil. Evil does not come because God brings it upon man or society. When you look in the book of Genesis chapter 1, the word good is used 6 times to describe God's creation in progress. And then, in verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And so please understand, the problem is not in God's creation. It's not in the way God made us or made this world. We do see very early on in the reading just a moment ago in the book of Genesis chapter 3 that evil is introduced in God's creation very early on. We do not know how long Adam and Eve existed before Satan came and tempted them. We know from the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 5, that it was the devil, it was Satan, who in fact introduced the idea of evil to mankind. We know in verse 6, man's reaction to that. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that a tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And so we note the reaction there. We also see God's response to evil. God cannot tolerate evil. in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 3. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You see, up to this point, the idea of pain and hardship and suffering were not known. The thought of death was not in their mind, because they had access to a tree of life. And so they lived in this garden of paradise where everything was provided. Everything was easy. God's creation was very good. But then man sinned against God, and we know the response. There was an introduction of that which was evil. Satan introduced temptation, and the man and woman sinned against God. And because of their sin, these things came into being. We note how evil can corrupt relationships. What do we see there on man's part? Does he take responsibility for himself? Or does he begin to blame someone else? He blames his wife. You know, I cannot imagine that was, you know, a good few moments between Adam and Eve. The woman you gave me, Lord, she's the one that did this. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, we note that at least in part the relationship between the man and woman, at least in part again, was influenced by these events. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is talking about the place between man and woman and the authority that man has. And he talks to the woman about subjection. In verse 13, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Well, that's part of the reason. Because Adam was made by God, and then Eve was made by God, taking a rib from Adam. But listen to verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. And so clearly, by inspiration, we find that this relationship between the man and woman in some way was impacted because of this sin, because of transgression, because of evil. And so we know that difficulties can arise because of evil that exists in our relationships. How many marriages have been destroyed because one or maybe both were unfaithful? How many relationships have been destroyed because of drugs and alcohol? Because of laziness? And we could go on and on, but what we find is that the way we act has an impact in our relationships with other people. How many children are brought up without a loving home? When parents abuse them, mistreat them, when parents refuse to raise them, to nurture them as God would have, You see, evil comes upon our society, and it impacts our relationships. It impacts the relationships between siblings, does it not? In the book of Genesis chapter 4, we have there the story of Cain and Abel. And you know that Abel offered a sacrifice that was pleasing to God, but Cain did not. And God confronted Cain and basically said, Cain, you are responsible. If you do that which is good, that which is right, then you'll be blessed. If you don't, then you'll bear the consequence of that. And we note in that context that there was an attitude problem on his part. In verse 8, after God had spoken with him, confronted him, challenged him to do right, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. You see how evil played a role in this sibling relationship. And we see the same kinds of things happening today when siblings cannot or will not get along with each other. Quite often it is attributable to the evil that one or maybe both are involved in. What about between neighbors? Do we see how evil can affect our relationship in this way? Again, a little bit later there in chapter 4. We're going through the list of Cain's children, grandchildren, and so on. And we come down to a man by the name of Lamech in verse 23. And he said to his wives, now listen to what he says. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. And so we note here the introduction of, again, murder, resulting from evil. I would suggest to you that the effects of evil continue today. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 21, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father of the child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And so Jesus is warning his disciples that even in the family, what should be perhaps the closest physical relationship that we enjoy here in this life, that even in the family, he says that brother will rise up against brother, father against child, children against the parents. And why is that? It's because of evil. I would suggest to you that evil corrupted the natural order of things. Because of evil, we have the introduction of natural hardships. In the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, and Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Remember the context there, the reading a moment ago? What happened? Well, now there's going to be pain associated with childbearing. Now there's going to be pain and suffering associated with just simply trying to make a living, trying to provide for yourself and your family. Thorns and thistles in the sweat of your brow. It's not going to be easy. But in God's creation it was. And so the natural order of that which was good was affected by evil. And what about changes in nature itself? A fellow by the name of Alfred Wallace, some suggest that he scooped, if you will, Charles Darwin in advancing the modern theories of evolution. And we know that Darwin was not the first to believe in evolution or to write about evolution. But certainly he is the one given credit, for the most part, of advancing evolution, organic evolution. But this gentleman by the name of Wallace said this: "There was but one climate known to the ancient fossil world as revealed by the plants and animals entombed in the rocks. And the climate was a mantle of spring-like loveliness, which seems to have prevailed continuously over the whole globe. Just how the world could have been warmed all over may be a matter of conjecture. That it was warmed effectively and continuously is a matter of fact. The Geographical Distribution of Animals, New York, Harper's Bazaar, 1876, Volume 1, page 277. And as I was trying to do a little bit of reading on this, I found that there are many who still in the scientific world who believe that at one time this world was much more pleasant, that we are seeing a deterioration of our world, and that, in fact, there has been a dramatic change in climate. I'm not talking about the modern-day climate change people. I'm talking about those who look at the evidence, again, from fossils and other things, and they can see that at one time this world was much more pleasant than it is today. It was almost paradise-like. What does that remind you of if you believe in God? Those in the scientific world, they have no real answers for this dramatic and what seems to be a very sudden change. But if you believe in God, and you believe in the Bible as God's inspired word, in Genesis chapter 7, in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the deep, a great deep, burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. Do you realize that before this time we read nothing of natural disasters in the Bible? Now, I understand that there's not a lot of information given from the creation time to hear the ark and the flood. But the Bible does indicate that really this was the beginning of what we would call natural disasters. And why did they take place? Why do we see this great change where all the fountains of the great deep burst forth and the windows of the heavens were opened? If you go back there in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, what you will find is that man was evil. In fact, every imagination of his thoughts was only evil continually. And God was fed up. And God said, I'm going to do something about this. And he did. And from that time on, we know great changes in nature. Again, science bears out that there seems to have been this great change. Science cannot figure out exactly how it occurred or what occurred. But the Bible tells us. Also, we note changes in relationship between God and man. It's not just changes in relationship with our fellow man, with our parents, with our children, with our siblings, with our neighbors, but changes in our relationship between God and man. The result of evil in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the garden he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. You see, up to this point, man was in perfect harmony with God. He was in fellowship with God. He enjoyed God's blessings in the garden. But now God drove him away. That he would no longer have access to the tree of life. God warned man, if you eat the day thereof, you will die. And man died spiritually that moment, but he also began to die physically. In the book of Isaiah chapter 59, in verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. In the New Testament, we have the same kind of statement made about God listening to, hearing the prayers of the righteous, but his ears being closed to those who are not his children. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Do you hear the admonition here from the inspired writer? Be careful. Do not allow an evil, an unbelieving heart to enter. Because if you have that, you will fall from the living God. Evil has an impact, an effect on our lives, on the way we live, on goodness itself. And again, all we have to do is open our eyes to the things that are taking place around us. And we know that is true. Let me tell you this. Trying to change the standard of what is evil is never the answer. Do you notice what happens sometimes? We live so long with evil that we get to a point and we just say, what's the use? We give up and we say, basically, let's change the standard of what is evil. Let's just make it good. Let's just say that it's no longer going to be frowned upon, intolerated, that now we're going to accept it. Think about the things we've done that with. What about those who promote the use of drugs? Just want to do away with it. After all, our prisons are so overcrowded because we have so many in there dealing with drugs. Just think of how many people we could let free. Just think of how much money we would save if we would just simply accept that people are going to use drugs. What about the idea of homosexuality? Do you know that more and more people who claim to be Christians are accepting the practice of homosexuality as being good in the sight of God? We've lived with this and it's been pushed down our throats for so long that we've just come to accept it. And so rather than stand opposed as God does, and stand opposed for the things that he tells us that are sin, we just simply give in. Evil is always going to be in this world. There's not a thing we can do about that. We will never, with all of the preaching, stop evil. when the Son of God, when Jesus was on this earth, and He was preaching to people and He was confirming that with the miracles done, evil still prevailed. If you think about the majority of people and what they believed and what they did, was it not evil that crucified Jesus? Think about it for a moment. The irony. The very thing that separates us from God, the very thing that causes us to be lost, the very thing that brings all of our woes and troubles in life, evil, it is also the thing that brought us hope. Not intentionally, not with purpose, but because of man's evil and determination to kill the Son of God, Jesus died, and now we have hope. And so what we ought to focus on in our lives, it's not the evil. We are aware of those things. And again, they impact us. And we live with them every day. But what we ought to understand as well is that we can overcome evil. Jesus believed that. And He was willing to die. He was willing to give in to the evil of mankind in the sense that He allowed that evil to crucify Him. No, we cannot completely avoid the effects of evil in this life. We understand that. But if we want to have the best life possible, listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you, speaking to Christians, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love this life and see good days, now listen, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Now listen. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This is the verse that I alluded to a moment ago. That God will listen to, God will see, God will answer those who are righteous. But He is against those who are evil. And so, if we want to have the very best possible life here and now, then we need to shun evil. We need to pray to God that He will deliver us from this present evil age. In Galatians 1 verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Through Jesus, we can be delivered. Not that we will be taken away from the evil of this world. As long as we live here, we have to deal with it. But at some point in time, we are going to be delivered from these things. And we are told finally in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces, now listen, of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. We can be victorious. No, we're not going to escape the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. We're not going to escape the consequences of what took place at the flood. This world, society, humanity, we have been changed forever. But there's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope if we will put on the armor of God. Do not be so discouraged by the things that you hear on television or the things that you read in the newspaper, to think that somehow God has failed. He has not. Do not think that you are destined to be overcome by evil, because you are not. If you will put your faith, your trust, and your love in God, if you will obey Him, then you can overcome the evil that is in this world. If you're not a Christian, I hope and pray this morning you will come forward, you will confess your faith in Christ and be baptized. Become a child of God, because only in Christ can you overcome the evil that is in this world. If you're a child of God, and maybe you've lost sight of this, and maybe evil is beginning to creep into your life and to impact you in ways that are spiritually destructive. Maybe you're not as faithful as you should be. Then come back. Come back. Ask God's forgiveness and dedicate your life to Him. If you need to respond, we encourage you to do so as together we stand and we sing the song that's been selected.